Hi there, and welcome to session four of What the Cluck. Stay tuned while we go in depth on breeding your chickens for a healthy, sustainable flock. Hi, this is Mayotte from Frugal Chicken, and welcome to session four of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. Today, I'm going to give you an insider's look into how we started and maintained our poultry breeding program on the farm. When we got the homestead, one of our major goals was to set it up to be as self-sustaining as possible. That meant we wanted to produce our own meat, eggs, dairy, vegetables, and you get the picture. A lot of our efforts have gone into creating a breeding program for each species on our property, and we're just now beginning to see the effects of the decisions we made years ago. So first we began by selecting breeding stock. First, what we did is we decided which animals we wanted to raise and which we wanted to work with first. As with anything when it comes to homesteading, you have to do everything in stages. You can't just do everything all at once because you'd be overwhelmed financially, overwhelmed by the work. So we just picked which ones we wanted to start with first and went from there. So obviously, we first went for chickens and ducks because they're easy to raise and we had a lot of experience with them already. And once we knew the animals that we wanted to raise, we then looked at which breed specifically we wanted on the farm to narrow down which animals we would then purchase. Of course, we didn't just start with a variety of animals. We did have to sink some money into purchasing breeding stock, but when all's said and done, I think it's been about less than $500, and we were able to get some really excellent breeding stock with that investment. None of our animals are registered. Some of them aren't purebloods, but none of them are definitely registered. It's really not necessary to have registered animals on your farm if you're looking to just have breeding stock and a meat program and an egg program, etc. It comes to be more important when you want to show your animals and everything. So we did not look for animals that were registered. We just looked for very good breeding stock. In the end, that investment was well worth it because, one, we now have control over our food supply, which is actually a more liberating feeling than I thought that it would be. And if you haven't started with your own breeding stock, you'll be surprised, I think, at how liberating it is knowing that your food supply is consistent. And two, the overall investment that we have made has paid off in dividends. So a return on that initial investment, and in the case of the chickens, we now have the meat and the eggs. And so that investment has far outstripped the cost. In this podcast, though, we're just going to talk about the chickens that we chose to raise for eggs, and we'll talk about meat chickens at a later date. So the number one goal when you're breeding animals is you're looking to create offspring that improve on their parents. So you're looking to combine positive traits from both parents to create an even better representation of the animal. So with that in mind, we went looking for chickens that were suitable for what we wanted. With the chickens, we did first look at breeds, and we had a number of Rhode Island Reds in the past, but when we got the new homestead, I was less concerned about breeds per se, and more concerned with the overall quality of the individual animal at the beginning of our breeding program. For the chickens, we went to a local breeder, and I do think buying local is best. I've purchased both locally and from hatcheries, and I do think buying local is best for a variety of reasons, which we'll discuss on a different podcast. In this situation, we picked out a rooster and a few hens that were still young, but they were already active layers and they looked like healthy animals that we wanted to raise and breed. So when we began our breeding program, we started with a production red female hen that laid a nice big brown egg every day, and a rooster who has a great personality and is very good at his job protecting the hens and helping them find food. We picked the hen specifically for her leg-laying consistency, and because she was healthy, had good foraging abilities, and was a good-looking animal. A rooster is a hybrid, and he's probably a Vellsummer crossed with something else. In the end, we didn't pick him because he's a specific breed. We picked him as our main rooster because of his physical qualities. He's a very beautiful rooster. And to create a strain of chicken specific to our needs on our homestead. And that was more important to me than going after a specific breed. I also liked that this rooster was good at breeding, but not in a way that hurt or intimidated the hens, which is important, and we'll get into that more later. Another reason we picked that rooster is because he was a good-looking animal, like I've said. Whenever you breed, the major goal is to improve upon the parents, and at least for chickens, to produce an animal that is better looking and more productive than the previous generation. So we looked for birds that had the best possible traits of their breeds, as well as traits like consistent egg laying that we wanted to reproduce, and we let those animals have chicks. This is something our ancestors have done for centuries, so we're not doing anything novel, but this is just how we approached it. We also paired that particular rooster, and his name is Lidl, by the way, and you can find a ton of pictures of him actually on my Instagram account, and I'll put the link for that in the show notes. But we paired that rooster with other hens, but those eggs from those hens didn't hatch, or in some cases the embryos either died early on, or they died right before hatching, or the chicks died soon after birth. So that let me know that those hens probably weren't the best to breed. Now, truth being told, the production red hen that we started out with had a flighty temperament, which has come out in her chicks. You know, none of her chicks are really lap chickens, so to speak, and I'm not really the biggest fan of that trait, but I've been so happy with the chicks that this cross produced that I'm willing to overlook that quirk. You might not be willing to overlook something like that, so you have to take that into consideration for your own breeding program. But for me specifically, I was okay with that because what she produced was so great that I can overlook that. Now, unfortunately, we lost that production red hen to some predator one day a while ago. But we were able to get 30 or so chicks from her, and about half of those chicks were pullets. So she left a very good legacy, and we've continued to breed her offspring with a lot of success. With the chicks that combination produced, you know, our king rooster with that production red hen, we were actually really shocked by how healthy and robust those chicks were right from the beginning, right from the day that they were born. And what's really surprised us is how quickly they grow. They grow not quite as fast as a Cornish cross, but much faster than heritage breeds. And they've turned into very prolific egg layers like their mother, which is satisfying because it's great knowing that I made the right decision about who to breed. They're also very beautiful birds, and you can see a lot of them actually on my Instagram page and in the Facebook group. And I'll put the link to the Facebook group if you haven't joined yet. There's 450 people who are also chicken lovers in the Facebook group, and you can usually see a lot of pictures of them there. So from that first crop of chicks, we raised them all until they were about 8 months, and from there sorted out which roosters we wanted to keep and which we would sell. We kept all the hens, of course, but the roosters were an interesting assortment of characteristics, some of which I liked and some that I just didn't want to breed. So when it came down to the young roosters, like I said, we waited until they were fully grown enough that we knew who we wanted to keep to breed. We also didn't want to overwhelm our hen population with too many roosters, so we really picked the best of the best. Now, when choosing the roosters we wanted to breed, it came down to a couple things. We first looked at whether the roosters were beautiful birds. You know, they all have beautiful coloring, so we looked at other things like size, whether they were broad-chested versus thin in front. I wanted to keep broad-breasted chickens to breed. We also looked at their vent area and whether there was a lot of space between their legs, such as 4 finger widths in the pelvis area, or whether we could only fit 1 or 2 fingers. While this is seemingly less important for roosters, it's very important for hens because if her vent area is narrow, she runs a larger chance of becoming egg-bound or something of that nature. Incidentally, we also looked for the same characteristics in the females when it came down to whose eggs we wanted to incubate. Over the years, we've also added in some other hens, specifically to diversify the gene pool. Now that we're in the second generation born on the farm, we have another set of decisions we've had to make. Some of these decisions have gotten interesting. So when it comes to breeding dogs, cats, humans, etc., inbreeding is a very undesirable thing to do. But with some animals, and specifically in my experience, chickens and horses, inbreeding, which breeders also like to call line breeding, can produce some very interesting combinations. So with the second generation born on the farm, they're actually the result of intentional line breeding, which has produced some really good results. In one particular case, a rooster not only passed off good physical characteristics, but good personality traits as well. With one rooster, he was scrawny and I almost sold him, and this is a rooster that's the son of our foundation rooster, our king rooster, Lidl. The son was sort of scrawny and I almost sold him, but he was the last chick from that production red before she was gotten by a predator. So I kept him just to see what happened, and he's really almost turned into the best of the lot. He's a beautiful black bird, but more importantly, he's gotten his father's personality of taking care of his hens, looking for food for them, and being considerate when breeding. Now, the last trait that I mentioned, being considerate when breeding, Seems kind of like a silly trait to look for in chickens, but it comes down to the desire to care as the head of the flock rather than simply mating for the sake of mating. We've had roosters that were inconsiderate, and we even lost hens because of those roosters after the hens got deep wounds. And just as an aside, at the time we didn't know that that would happen, and as soon as we realized what was going on, we did remove the offending rooster immediately. But while it seems that this trait of being considerate when mating seems a little trivial, the desire to act as the head of the flock and to take care of the hens is an important trait that we want to breed. Now, just to be clear, going back to breeding fathers to daughters, this wasn't a fly-by-the-night sort of decision. We really did look at the characteristics of the birds, and we also did a lot of outside research to make sure that the decision was a sound one. Our research showed that with chickens, breeding fathers to daughters often produces very favorable results, and in our case, exactly that happened. The second generation born is vigorous and healthy, and they're fast growers with broad breasts. Now, it remains to be seen whether they're good egg layers. However, the first generation born on the farm are perfect egg layers. They lay every day and they lay gorgeous eggs with healthy shells. Now, we've also diversified our gene pool by adding olive eggers, blue copper Morans, and black copper Morans, as well as some unrelated production red hens. In our experience, breeding our king rooster to production reds came out so well the first time. We wanted to try and repeat that success. Now, we added Morans and olive eggers in part because I wanted to have chocolate eggs and colored egg layers in our mix. We paired those hens with the roosters that we chose to keep out of that first crop that we bred on the farm. But with the hens, we aren't incubating everyone's eggs. We're only incubating the eggs that come from hens that have the characteristics we're looking for, namely consistent egg layers with good fence and healthy, robust appearances. And again, if their eggs, if we incubate their eggs and they have late embryonic death, or they have early embryonic death, and it's a consistent issue, we don't incubate those eggs anymore because there's no point. We also started adding Easter eggers and blue egg layers to our mix, in part because I want hens that lay blue and green eggs, but also I wanted to add hens that can pass those genes onto a second generation. Because they're just chicks, however, it's not clear if we're going to breed any of them or whether they'll make good egg layers, however. All of that because they're chicks remains to be seen. Well, I hope that this podcast provides some insight into how we make our chicken breeding decisions on our homestead. And if you do want to hatch any chicken eggs in your own home, I hope it gives you direction for choosing mates and establishing your own breeding program. As always, feel free to contact me with any comments or questions, and be sure to check out other chicken-related articles on my blog, thefrugalchicken.com. If you like this podcast, please feel free to give it a review and ratings in iTunes. I would definitely appreciate that. And don't forget to subscribe to What the Cluck on iTunes so you don't miss an episode. Also, be sure to subscribe to the Frugal Chicken YouTube channel for chicken and homesteading videos. If you haven't checked out my new chicken nutrition course, Feeding Your Hens Right, which comes out in January, head over to feedingyourhensright.com, and that's all one word, to take a look. And I'll be sure to put that link in the show notes as well. See you next time!